Please be seated. When I first accepted this preaching opportunity, I thought, well, I'll start by thanking the dean and staff for the privilege of preaching on the first of the five Marks for Mission. I am deeply committed to all the Marks represent. Then I was told by my beloved husband, rather at the last minute, I'll tell you, that it also had to be a stewardship sermon. And as I studied the appointed readings for the day, I became less sure about the honor. I mean, honestly, take the gospel with its parable of the widow and her persistent plea. I suppose I could shape my sermon on the model of an NPR pledge campaign. You know, if we just ask often enough and insistently enough, maybe we can wear down your resistance so that you finally give to our stewardship campaign. Not a very attractive opening gambit. And the other readings aren't much more help. The unknown author of today's epistle does present, in a very personal appeal, a heartfelt set of instructions for church leaders, chief among them the exhortation, "Preach the message." All well and good, and we feel the force of his urging, but what message? Quite frankly, most of the rest of his letter is utterly depressing. Full of dark talk of the end times and the suffering to come for God's elect. Hardly a very persuasive message with which to gather converts, surely. I find better direction for my assignment from William R. Inge, Dean of St. Paul's, London, from 1911 to 1934. Dean Inge wrote, "The gospel was not good advice, but good news. The gospel was not good advice, but good news." Now, Dean Inge was a complex, somewhat controversial individual. Among the many strands that made up his character, he was a fervent nudist, as well as a proponent of eugenics. But setting those things aside, I think on this issue he hit the nail on the head. The preacher's primary task is not to tell people what to do. It is to proclaim good news. And more specifically, as our baptismal covenant has it, the good news of God in Christ. Inge's younger colleague at St. Paul's, Canon Vico de Mont, put it this way in his book, Christian Polity. "Tell people only what they must do, and you will numb them into despair. You will turn the gospel into a shabby replica of the world's irreligious and nagging moralism with its oceanfuls of good advice. But tell them what they are, of their dignity as made in the image of God, and that their falling into sin is a wicked perversion of their nature. Tell them that the world with all its horrors is still God's world, though its true order is upside down. Tell them that they can do all things through Christ, because in him all the powers of their nature are directed to fruition. Tell them this, and you will help to revive hope in this dispirited generation." It's a paradox, but one easily verified, that preaching morality will never motivate people to do good. It will discourage them. It will inevitably bore them. It may even drive them to despair because of the suggestion, implied if not stated, that if they are not good, God will not love them and bless them. But the proclamation of the gospel, of the good news of what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do for hearers and preachers alike. This will motivate people to love God and neighbor as nothing else can. And this preaching, by the way, this proclamation of the good news, is not solely the province of the professional, the specialist. It is the work, the calling, of every Christian. It is something we consider so central to our identity as Episcopalians that we make it part of every baptismal dedication. Every time we gather at the font, the symbol of our entry into the community of faith, we, the whole congregation, make a series of promises about the way we will live out our faith, at the heart of which is the question, will you, by word and example, proclaim the good news of God in Christ? To which we respond with vigor, we will, with God's help. At least I hope we do. I hope so for many reasons, but standing in this particular place this morning, I hope so because you as a congregation have extended this identity by adopting the 5 marks of mission as your communal charter. By now, I expect you know the 5 marks by heart. And if not, just look at the back of your bulletin. It's there every Sunday. But if you don't, here's a recap. They were developed by the Worldwide Anglican Consultative Council in 1984, affirmed by the Lambeth Conference in 1999, and finally adopted by the General Convention of the Episcopal Church in 2009. Gee, it only took 25 years. If you haven't been paying attention, here's what the marks call us to do. To proclaim the good news of the kingdom. To teach, baptize, and nurture new members. To respond to human need by loving service. To seek to transform unjust structures of society, challenging violence of every kind, and pursuing peace and reconciliation. And to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. The 5 marks are often summarized like this: tell, teach, tend, transform, treasure. In a succinct way, they offer a framework for mission and ministry. And that's exactly how St. Mark's is using them, as I understand it. From the very basic level of building your budget right on through to everything you do. Whether it's when you recycle, mark number 5, undertake social justice work, mark number 4, donate to a food bank or volunteer at a soup kitchen, mark number 3, renew your baptismal vows, mark number 2, or in countless other ways, the 5 marks of mission shine through everything you do. So how are you doing with mark number 1? To proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And let's add the tag of the baptismal promise by word and example. Once again, I don't mean how's the dean doing, or the priests, or the deacons, or the church school staff. I mean every one of you sitting here in front of me this morning. What are you doing? How are you choosing to live out this calling to share your faith with others? Made you uncomfortable, didn't I? I could see some of you just shut down right there. Comes too close to the dreaded E word, evangelism. Surely proclamation is something best left in the hands of the clergy, we say. We wouldn't want to come off as pushy or exclusive or judgmental of others' beliefs. After all, we're not only Episcopalians, we're Minnesotans, for gosh sakes. Remember Dean Inge, my friends. The gospel was not good advice, but good news. Speaking of that good news, that message given to us that we are to proclaim, Archbishop Desmond Tutu puts it this way. It is really making us all aware of the incredible love that God has for all of us. It says things like, you don't have to earn God's love. God loves you, period. Everything flows from there. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom is not about convincing someone that our faith is a better way or telling people what they must do. It's simply about showing others, telling them what a difference that incredible love of God makes in your life or the life of your family. So the most effective proclamation we can ever undertake is to share our story. Now, there are two fallacies we tend to hold about our stories. The first is that they're about us. And the second is that because they're about us, they don't really matter. But they are not only about us. And they matter now more than ever. Ultimately, my life is not a story about me, and your life is not a story about you. Each life is a story about who God is and what God does in a human heart, about God's presence and activity in us and among us and through us. There's nothing small or inconsequential about our stories. In fact, there's nothing bigger. And when we tell the truth about our lives, when we share the broken parts, the secret parts, the beautiful parts, then the gospel comes to life as a lifetime feed about God acting in the world instead of abstraction and theory and things you learn in Sunday school. Our story, joined to God's story, can move mountains. So let's stop acting as if religious professionals are the only ones who have a right and a responsibility to tell God's story. At the risk of telling you what to do, I believe that if we are people of faith, it is our calling to tell God's story in every way we can, every form, every medium, every moment. Tell the stories of love and enlightenment and transformation every time you experience them. Tell the stories of reconciliation and surprise, and new life, wherever you find them. The biggest, most beautiful story in the world deserves better than to be told by the same old voices over and over again. In fact, God's big story is really told best through our little stories. This is the God who chose to come to fullest expression through a human being, remember. And yes, at least once a year, that also means sharing why you choose to financially support the ministry and mission of this place, where all those stories, God's, mine, my neighbors, meet together. I'll close with a suggestion that might make all of this easier. Not asking for a head count, but how many of you use Facebook? Consider going on a regular basis to the cathedral's Facebook page and liking something you see posted there. A photo, a message, an event. Bingo! You have just proclaimed the good news. Because when we share our story on social media, people who are searching, people who are seeking for some sign of hope in a dispirited world will connect to it through terms like Christian, Episcopal, Cathedral, Creative Exploration of Faith, Earthkeepers, Healing, Open and Affirming Congregation, Prayer, Evensong, Family, and above all, God's unconditional love. If you need other taglines, go back and reread Dean Paul's From the Desk message for this week. Better yet, like it on Facebook. Link to it on Snapchat or Twitter. Of course, I hope you will choose to share your story face to face as well. But this is a start. However you choose to tell the story, what you share is an invitation that may lead another to the door of their heart and to the door of our church, where they will be warmly welcomed to seek and serve Christ with us. When we share the story of the love, affirmation, vitality, and transformation we experience every day in and through this beloved community, what we share is nothing less than proclamation of the good news of God in Christ for all creation. Proclaim, by word and example, the good news of the kingdom, God in Christ. Maybe not so hard after all, is it?